So for the next less than half hour until 9 o'clock, we have our annual business meeting, part of the conference. But before we launch into that, one of the things about the conference that we think is important is kind of the tradition and history. You may have noticed on the front cover of the program that this is the 71st year of the Ogden Surgical Medical Society. And we have a good number of people here who have been coming for lots of years. You heard from Dr. Grua, who remembers coming and hearing about this conference as a child, as his dad was a member. I talked to Val Johnson, who remembers coming over 50 years ago when he was a child, and his dad was a member of this conference. And so we'd like to honor every year someone who has been with his organization for a long time, which is over 50 years. So this year, we'd like to honor Dr. Frederick Deese. Is Dr. Deese here today? Hopefully. Okay.
Here he is.
Is he?
Yes, right here.
Okay. So if... And Dr. Deese, if you could come up, that would be great. You don't have to. We can take your award to you or whatever you would prefer. Okay. First of all, I'd just like to tell you a couple things about Dr. Deese. He has been a family medicine physician for 55 years, and he retired in 2014, not that long ago. He practiced in Idaho before beginning his practice in Powell, Wyoming in 1965. And eventually moved to Casper, Wyoming. He practiced small town medicine from 1959 to 1982, and he did everything from removing gallbladders to pinning hips to delivering over 5,000 babies. So this is kind of the original model of the family practice doctor who did a little bit of everything. Since 1982, he spent time teaching at the University of Wyoming at the Family Residency Program in Casper, Wyoming. He is also proud of the Deese Family Endowment that helps ensure the future of society and the continued improvement of patient care. And so we would like to honor Dr. Frederick Deese at this time. He just received his award, so if we could give a big hand for him. Okay, and then... moving on with the rest of the program, we're going to start actually with Al Hartman, who is chair of the nominating committee. And then after him, we'll hear from Dr. Jason Hoagland, who is actually going to be our president for next year, so we can hear about what his conference is about. We'll then hear from Frank Brown, who is our treasurer, to give the finance report. Then Brian Campbell will be giving our CME report. And then we'll go from there.
Is this working? Okay. So this will be our elections, and the I'm nominating the president-elect for 2017, and we'd like them to stand, because we're going to do a few here all at once. The president-elect for 2017 is Joseph Graham, MD. And he's some, Eric, Joseph, Joe. And we're going to re-elect the co-chair, Heather Hylison, MD. Is that true? And you should stand up, shouldn't you? If you don't want to, you don't want to stand up. And the CME chairman, Steve Sharman, who's not here. Is that, that's right. And the secretary, Brian Campbell. And trustee number two, Douglas Anderson. Douglas Macon? Okay. Well, all those in favor of these people, raise your hands. Or and then I nominated them and we approved them and that's it, right? We done? Okay, cool.
Let's give a round of applause for Al and for Teresa for all the good conference the past couple days you've had here. And so they've done a great job, I think. Are you good, John, on that PowerPoint? And someone's stolen the clicker, too, so I don't know. Do we have our ophthalmologist stole the clicker or no? You can help me out, then, John. Just advance them, okay? And so, all right. So I'm really excited to be the 2017 version of the OSMS conference. It's a great privilege to be able to serve you guys in that capacity. One of the first things they ask you to do when you are invited to be the president-elect is to pick a theme for your year. And the second I was given that opportunity, the theme came to mind immediately. It would be have medicine in Tomorrowland. So John, can I advance it from here on this computer, John? Okay. Tomorrowland. You know, over the past 10 years, we've had a lot of changes in medicine. We've had, you know, our transition from paper charts to EMR. Is that going to go, John, or no? Yeah, I found it. There you go. Okay. There we go. Thanks, John. From paper charts to EMR, advanced in technology and processes. And then I thought about how I can help you guys for the next 10 years that are coming forward, all the changes that we're going to have. And I thought about an analogy that came from Clay Christensen. You think about Blockbuster. In the 1990s, Blockbuster was a dominant force in the video rental market. They had a Blockbuster in every corner. Their model was you went in, you picked out a video. They made money off of you coming into their store. They made a lot of money off of me with late fees when you'd bring the videos back late. And we all felt comfortable going into the store, picking out a video, dropping by the pizza place, you know, having a family night with our family. But then Upstart came along with Netflix. They had a different model, different technology. They had the ability to stream movies into your home, to have movies sent to your house. And Blockbuster could have done the same thing side by side with their current model. They could have done the same streaming, could have done the same everything. But they felt like this was something that would cannibalize their own successful business model. And in 2002, they said, hey, this is a niche market. It's not going to really gonna take off. 2011, Blockbuster declared bankruptcy. They were unable to be able to modify their business model to be able to compete with what Netflix was doing. And so this industry underwent a disruption, a shift in how they practice their craft, mostly due to technology. And so here's me, 15 years, you know, in my my fire engine office. The kids love it. The model of having kids come and visit me in the office. But we're also undergoing a shift in our technology. Well, they want me to deliver that same fire engine experience to their kitchens and homes through technology. And we're being told this is the future of healthcare. Now, there are some advantages to social life with some of these advances. Like this, man, this telemedicine thing is great. I don't even have to put my pants on. They tell us there'll be some savings in cost as well. We now feel it's cheaper to do surgery via Skype. So go home and lie down in front of your computer. So we come back to where we started, to this advances in medicine. The changes will be happening. I want to make sure that each of us are prepared to help lead and guide that change, rather than having change influence us in a way that we're afraid of. And so as we go through this last part of the conference, if you guys could also write down any speakers you like, any topics you like, relative to things you're worried about or thinking about in advances in medicine, and especially in technology. And so I'd like to welcome you next year for 2017 for the Ogden Circuit Medical Center Society. It's the Society of Tomorrow. Thanks a bunch.
Yes, wonderful. So I want to give you just a quick snapshot of the Ogden Surgical Society and the financial situation. A couple things I want to talk about. First is that this we do have an annual audit that's done by Woods Richards and Associates. I introduced them yesterday. The audit's a big deal, really, to keep the integrity of the organization. So they have all sorts of recommendations on simple example for is who signs the checks, okay? So Teresa can't sign a check. She can't spend any money. She can deposit the money, but she can't sign a check. So there's all sorts of checks and balances in the system that they watch out for us and take care of us that way. So just kind of reassuring that it's increasingly difficult for somebody to be able to take money out of the system without somebody else knowing about it. So that's one thing. And then the second, I just want to go over an income report, and you can look at the general trend there. So the exhibitors at over time, we've actually been able to do okay that way, despite all the changes with the pharmaceutical industry and so forth. A major thing back years ago when Bob Whipple was around, he said, gosh, we need to get some sponsors, and as you can see, the sponsor income as you move across has gone up at one time $66,000, and this data is just from last year's conference at $55,000, but obviously a big deal, and that's why we keep talking about acknowledging the sponsors and taking care of them. And then the last line there, the dues and fees have really stayed pretty flat over this time and obviously are dependent upon the number of people that come to the conference. So as you look at that, 86,000 out of 225,000 is the percentage that of dues it pays for the conference. So the expenses, we've very obviously somewhat from year to year, have tended to go up if you look from 2000, obviously. But over these last 5 years, really have been pretty darn consistent. Huh? So 224,000 up to 245,000. So we've really, that's been a major effort to try to control the expenses. One of the things Bob talked about, Whipple talked about a few years ago was, gosh, what are the expenses per attendee? So pretty simple math overall. So if we just have these total expenses across the top of the $244,000 and divide that by the number of people, and you can see the fourth line down there, the total attendees varies from year to year. But you can see then the bottom line is that the average cost is somewhere over $600 per attendee, and the actual cost that you folks have paid is somewhere a little over $200. So the difference obviously made up from the sponsors and the endowment. And lastly, there have been questions about the speaker honorariums, and Teresa's been really aggressive about this since we're a 401(c)(3) organization, nonprofit, that the speakers have the option of donating their honorariums, and you can see a significant amount of their honorariums have been credited back to the organization. The Surgical Society has two different endowments, and one is a trust fund that has a little bit more aggressive investment options. So 60% are in equities and 30% are in fixed income, and then the endowment fund. Both of these are managed by UMA Financial Services. You heard from Patrick today. We switched over from Wells Fargo to UMA Financial Services about a year and a half ago and have been very happy with their with what's happened. So as you can see from their returns, we maybe shouldn't be so happy, but as most of you know from your own retirement plans, 2015 was a tough year. A lot of funds were about even or losing money. The previous years, you can see those back to 12, 13, and 14. We have a fiscal year that's different than than the calendar year. So that's why the numbers may be a little bit different. But you can see our returns on the endowment, they're in conservative funds, and so we don't have high returns. And then the other component, of course, that affects the withdrawal, or with the level of the endowment fund, is how much we're withdrawing. And a struggle every year, we have a formula as to how much we can withdraw. Patrick's figure, as you recall, if you take out 4% from your endowment, 4% out of $1 million, you can spend $40,000, it'll last for 35 years. We target trying to take out less than 4%, and you can see these percentages over time, 21,000 taken out of the endowment of 1,300,000. So we're trying to stay well under that to maintain the viability of the organization. Here's the last slide. When you look at the total value, back to 2000, of course, we peaked out wonderful times in the 90s with incredible returns, and then the seesaw effect from 2000 to 2010, the terrible loss in 07 and 08, and then gradually trying to build that back up. almost now to where we were. So we're, as of March, $1,353,000. So that's my report for this year.
Good morning. So the Ogden Surgical Medical Society is different than many other educational conferences. You are not just attending the conference, you actually are members of the society and voting members. So there's a number of items that I have to address. The first has to do with the remuneration for the board. As it turns out, we have had a very stagnant income on the board. In fact, what we get paid as board members is zero. Now, the board has asked me to propose to you that we actually double our income. And so all of those of you in favor, because Teresa is against this, so all of those of you in favor of doubling our income, please raise your hands. Okay, Teresa, so it's done now. So you have to put that in the orders. So she gave me this long-winded report that I'm supposed to share on CME, but I'm going to distill it down for you. As you would probably guess, CME has gotten harder over the years. A number of years ago, I was the education chairman for the Department of Family Practice at McKD, and McKD itself could simply grant CME. I had a little bit of stuff I had to do as far as reviewing, but it was a pretty simple process. That process has gotten more and more and more onerous. But because of Teresa's excellent leadership, we maintain our ability to grant CME. We are accredited or involved through the UMA, and we have the most outstanding relationship with them, and as a result, have the highest accreditation, which continues through 2016, and then we're up for a renewal at that. We have relationships that allow us to grant CME through an appropriate process with others so that we go through some CME granting through Ogden Regional, and that maintains an excellent relationship there as well. We also have some other relationships that are very important. We want to point those out. Part of those include our relationship here with Weber State. Those of you that had the opportunity to see the Weber State student posters, raise your hands. So next year, we want to see more hands raised. You missed an opportunity, those of you who didn't see those posters. It takes you back to some of the science that we once studied and is no longer understandable at all, but it's there, and it's still growing. And so a marvelous opportunity, and we appreciate Weber State's relationship with us. So if you have any specific questions about CME and its granting, I'm happy to talk to you. But the main point of this is we're aware of the changes, we're aware of the challenges, and as an organization are on top of that so that we maintain our highest standards. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you for the raise.
So this was a surprise. I was talking to my mother, 92-year-old Darlene Hartman, and about this organization, and she told me that she worked for the founders when she was a 17-year-old girl. She worked in Dumpke's office. If I've got this wrong, she'll correct me. And she met or interacted with all of the founders, and we were talking about this, and I happened to mention to Val Johnson, and he had a heart attack, and interviewed her and wanted her to share a little of her history as it relates to this organization. So this is my mother, Darlene, and my sister, Terry.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me here today. As a young girl, I had the opportunity to witness the creation of the Ogden Surgical Medical Society. I never imagined that then, in all these years later, I would be standing here addressing the conference as the mother of the current president. I was born in Mink Creek, Idaho, and moved to Ogden when I was 13 years old. Both of my parents worked at Jedwin's Knitting Mills in Ogden. My connected was Dr. Ezekiel R. Dumke, one of the founders of the Surgical Society, began when I was 17 years old. I was a student at Weber State College at the time. I went as a patient to visit Dr. Dumke one day after school. His office was on the 7th floor of the Eccles Building on Washington Boulevard. When Dr. Dumke came in to see me, he noticed I had my stenography pad and asked me if I was a secretary. I explained that I was a freshman at Weber State College taking classes. Before I left the appointment, he had offered me a job working in his office. I would take the bus each day from my home on 12th Street to 25th and Washington, walk up to the college, take a couple of classes, and that was on 25th and Jefferson at the time. Then I would take the morning classes and go to Dr. Dumke's office in the afternoon to work. I worked part-time for a year, then went full-time in his office for the next 10 years. Imagine that, a 17-year-old girl going to work in a doctor's office for 50 cents an hour. I thought that was wrong, but I spoke to a couple of my friends who are as old as I am, and they said, no, that was the wage at that time. I can't imagine it, but anyway, it was a grand invention for a young college student. And Dr. Dumke told me, I don't want nurses in my office. They have to have their own way. Actually, he didn't have to pay anything to us. You know, I mean, we just looked at him and shook our head because the reason he wanted us to be there was that we were really cheap. And he and the other ladies that worked in my office did it all. We did anything that needed to be done in the office. From paperwork to working with patients, we were taught on the job. We learned to give shots and take blood by practicing on oranges. The cost of a visit then was $5 for the new patients and $3 for returning patients. And we worked from Monday through Friday, half a day on Saturday, and 2 hours every other Sunday. Patients didn't make appointments, they just dropped in, and we were there and didn't leave until the last patient in the waiting room had been seen. Dr. Dumke was a great mentor for young doctors in the Ogden area. Hurst, Eklund, Loomis, and Barker were young doctors in the office while I was with him. He helped many of them through their medical training, and he dreamed of bringing doctors to the area to become specialists. This may have been the reason for starting the Ogden Surgical Medical Society. The society was started before continuing education was required. The story is told that the society was born on April 16, 1946 at 7:30 a.m. when, quite by accident, Drs. Ezekiel Dumke, Clark Rich, and George Pfister met in the local room in the cloakroom at the D. Memorial Hospital and started the discussion of planning a medical meeting. George Fisher worked down the hall from Dr. Dumke in the Eccles Building, and Dr. Clark Rich worked across the street in what is now the First Security Building. These three men would be proud of what the conference has begun. I remember Dr. Dumke working hard to put the society together. The first conference was held at the D. Memorial Hospital in 1946. There were 38 members in attendance. The speaker was Dr. Charles Huggins. The next year, Dr. Alton Ochsner from Tulane University in New Orleans was invited to be the guest speaker. Dr. Ochsner was a well-respected, renowned doctor and a personal friend of Dr. Dumke. Dr. Ochsner said of Dr. Dumke how much he did for all of us. We are all a great deal richer for having known him. I know of no one else who embodied all the principles of a real physician as much as Zeke. He had those rare qualities of sweetness and thoughtfulness that so few people have. He was always so much fun to be with him. Dr. Ochsner continued to speak at this conference every year for 20 years. In those early years of the conference, speakers would often stay at the local homes of doctors, and Dr. Dumke also had a cabin at Hebgen Lake where he took them up there for a special time. And a lot has changed in the 70 years since that first meeting. Young girls are not picked out of the freshman year of college and trained to be nurses. Ogden is now home to doctors and specialists in every aspect of medicine. An office visit costs a little more than $3. And this extraordinary conference now welcomes over 400 medical professionals each year. It has been my great pleasure to be an eyewitness to the creation and the growth of this great conference. Okay, I guess that was it. Okay.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you very much.
We have just two more awards. First is for our president, Al Hartman. This is the traditional gavel. I didn't know what a gavel was a few years ago, but now I do. This is it. So we give this to the president each year, and this year it's for Al. I remember a couple years ago when we met with Al, we meet with the new president, and the purpose is to find out what the conference is about and what their theme is. And, of course, I figured he's an OBGYN, and so his theme is going to be OB topics, you know, preterm labor and VBACs and these sorts of things. And I think that would have been a great conference. But Al's kind of a think-outside-the-box kind of a person. And so when we asked him what his theme was, he said, my theme is how to stay out of jail. And I thought, well, that's a little different. We haven't had that before, but... as he elaborated and talked about what became the theme is the pitfalls of medicine and how to stay safe as a physician, the idea just seemed to really grow, and the board just thought, wow, what a great idea that is. We've never talked about that. That's never been a topic of our conference. And so here 2 years later, I think it has been a great success, and it's been really just a model for future conferences, and I think Al's been just a big part of the leadership of making this a great conference. And so if you would just join me in an applause for Al and receiving his award this year.
Thanks a lot. I'm honored and grateful to have been chosen to be president. Good things are born from troubles. I guess that's how songs, poems get written. I think I've decided I'd like to change the name of this poem from Pitfalls to, because it feels like here at the end of it, it should be named Do Better, Be Better, and Be Happy. That's what's come through for this. So I've had a few good ideas, but my brother-in-law, Nolan Bushnell, who invented Atari, he says anybody who's had a shower has had a few good ideas. And that brings me to the executive director, Teresa Piscedra. She's the person who makes this thing happen. You know, it's because of her kindness to speakers and her attention to detail, she's the reason that this thing is what it is. So I will be forever grateful. And so, let's see. Is Teresa coming up? Or am I just going down? I'm coming down there. I can do that. And I've got her some pretty flowers.
And Al, you forgot your gavel.
I thought it was the same one every year.